Good evening. So I'm Father Dave Heaney, and I'm just very, very glad to be here. I've done a number of these retreats here at Sacred Heart. Let me just see by a show of hands, how many of you have been to a retreat here before? Wow. How many have been on a retreat with me before? Oh, good. So this is actually new material. I'm not going to just borrow from last year. welcome. And tonight I really just want to give like a short intro. I imagine you might have had a busy week. And you have all kinds of things kind of racing through your head and your mind. So I just want to lay out just really kind of a few ideas of what I plan for you this weekend. The theme is the Holy Family or the family, which I think is just really a wonderful theme. And so during this next number of sessions, I'm going to be talking about kind of the Holy Family and your family, and maybe what the gap or how close those are. You know, we're not that far away from Christmas, and maybe in your church, in your parish, you had a manger scene, you know, a Bethlehem scene, a crib scene, and they just look so perfectly holy in that picture, don't they? They just look so sanctified, so holy, so dignified, so at peace, so calm. And then maybe you kind of look down the pew and see your family and go, can I trade these people for those people, maybe, you know? Well, I think that's not a bad thing to look at, though, those statues, because those statues, even though they're not speaking and they're not moving, they actually give a fairly profound teaching just by their positioning. If you notice, generally speaking, depending on who set up the manger scene in your parish, almost every statue in that scene, you know, whether it's Joseph, Mary, the angels, the donkey, the sheep, everybody, they're all looking at Jesus. So that's, I think, an important lesson, that somehow in that person of Jesus, we're going to find the answer for how not only does each person act, how does each person live, but how the family will live as well. I remember I'm the pastor at St. Bruno now in Whittier. Before that, I used to be the pastor of St. Pascal Baylon in Thousand Oaks, where the fires were and where that shooting was. That was my hometown. I actually grew up in Thousand Oaks. I returned and became pastor of my hometown. That was really quite remarkable. It really was quite meaningful for me to go back to my hometown. And my first Sunday there, I said, you know, since I've been back here in Thousand Oaks, I haven't done a single miracle. I used to do one or two miracles a week, and now nothing. But we had a big school there, just like St. Bruno's is a big school. And on graduation day, I used to invite, for all of our eighth graders, I used to invite all of our neighboring high school principals, public school, Catholic school, wherever they were going, boys' school, girls' school. And there might be like six or seven principals there. And as part of the graduation ceremony, I would say, you know, you're all going off to these different high schools, and you're going to have different people in charge of your life now. And I would have this principal stand up, and this principal stand up, and this principal stand up, and look at all these principals here. And so as you go off to high school, I really just have just one piece of advice. Don't listen to any of them. Don't follow anything they say. Don't pay attention to them at all. Just follow Jesus. And if you follow Jesus, everything else will take care of itself. Does that make sense? Right? So, you know, what I learned from the statues in the manger scene, and I think hopefully what our eighth graders learned, is that keeping things simple is very important. Can you imagine how complicated an eighth grader can feel when they're heading off into high school? My God, they're getting bombarded by everything. And that's just from their cell phone, you know. So just imagine all the things that are happening to them in their classes, in their schools, and are you in this group? No, I'm in that group. Are you in this group? No, I'm in this group. I'm not in any group. I want to be in, you know, all these things going on. It can be quite confusing. And so the more we can keep our life simple, the more we can keep our life easy to follow, the better. And so that a simple idea of following Jesus is very, very quite profound. One of my best friends is really is one of my closest friends of all time for 45 years. He's just retiring next month from the LA City Fire Department. He's a senior official in the LA City Fire. He's retiring in the next few months. Can you imagine that? We're classmates. We were the same age in the seminary. He left to become a fireman, and now he's retiring. So I asked Archbishop Gomez about that one time. I said, what's the retirement age here? He said, I can tell you, retirement coincides with interment. But I asked my classmate one time, you wake up in the alarm in the middle of the night, you got all these things going on. How do you know what to do when you get to the fire? The lights are flashing, people are yelling at you, there's noise, confusion. How do you know what to do? It's so confusing. And he goes, I don't know what to do. But we have funneled it down to simply one word that we remember. And the word is, letters of the word stand for different procedures that they do. So you can imagine waking up at 3 a.m, you can't figure things out. So the fire department understands that if you keep things simple, then you're more likely to stay on track and not lose your head. So look, is there anything more complicated than a family? A family is basically a five-alarm fire going on all the time. And so I hopefully this weekend, we'll kind of discuss and go over some ideas about keeping our head clear, keeping our head straight, so that whether everything is peaceful or our family is a five-alarm fire, we will be that solid rock. We will be that still point that has her feet set on the ground and is not, kind of buffeted back and forth. So some of the themes we're going to talk about are all the moral issues, LGBTQ, T, X, Y, Z, all those letters. We'll talk about basically this weekend, this is the Right to Life weekend, Respect Life Sunday. We'll talk about those issues. We'll talk about disillusionment. It just happens when you just lose your heart and you just feel disillusioned. We'll talk about forgiveness and hurts and how to overcome, being damaged. So by the time that you leave here on Wednesday, you will have so many ideas. I want to make sure we cover everything. I'm actually going to, talk about obviously centering everything on our Lord, but ironically, I'm going to do it in the light of the Ten Commandments, right? So kind of we're going to have a New Testament and Old Testament, just kind of bring the entire Bible, the entire scriptures to this theme. So it's going to be Jesus in the light of the Ten Commandments. But I want to begin with a few words about why silence, a silent retreat, that is just so un-American, I was telling people that this week in my parish, that I'm giving a silent retreat. And they go, well, Father Dave, how cool is that? You just stand up at the lectern and don't say anything. No, I think I'm supposed to talk. They're supposed to be silent, right? So it's a novel experience. It's not something that we do all along. But I want to give you some guidance about how to do it, what happens if you break down, and what the meaning of it is. It has an extremely long history in the church. Going back to really just a few generations after Jesus, clusters of people would go into the desert and be quiet and be silent. And this was really parallel to Jesus going into the desert as well. So what's good about that? Actually, I want to begin by saying what's hard about that. And it's not so much just the stereotype of people like to talk or like to converse or like to chit-chat. There's something actually more deeper going on. And actually, I don't think I recognize anybody here. I mean, I may later on, but so you're all new people to me, which is great. So one way of looking at silence is imagine this image. I would imagine that you can recognize either in your hometown or in Los Angeles that there are places that you're probably not going to go alone, right? You'll probably go anywhere if 50 people are with you. But if you're by yourself and there's nobody with you, you're going to think much more carefully and deliberately whether you're going to go to that place or not. Does that make sense? If you think about it, and the reason we don't go to that place is because it's dangerous, and it's hurtful, and it's very uncomfortable, and I'm not going to like it. So I'm going to avoid it, and I'm not going to go there. Now, that makes perfect sense in terms of the geography of Los Angeles. It actually has a parallel into sometimes people's reluctance to be silent. Being silent is like going to a bad neighborhood at times, because you might be afraid of who's going to jump out at you. Now, if you're going to a bad area of Los Angeles, you might be afraid of who's going to jump out of you. If you are silent and don't speak, you might be afraid of what thoughts might jump out at you, right? You might be afraid of what thoughts come to mind. You might be, you know, kind of concerned about what ideas will occur to you. That makes sense. So I'm going to give you a way of thinking about that. First of all, I have what's called Father Dave's Law. So Father Dave's Law is this. Anything that occurs to you at any moment is always good news, because now you know it, and now you can deal with it and say, gee, I wonder where that idea came from. Well, that's surprising. I didn't expect that. That's a horrible idea. Why am I thinking that? See, anything that occurs to you is always good news, because now it's something that you can deal with and look at and wonder, right? The really good news is that no one else can read your mind, so no one else knows what you're thinking, right? So, you know, unless you change your expression, nobody's going to know what idea comes to you. So now I want to talk about the most important thing is, how do you distinguish between this thought, this word, this idea that comes into your mind, and the Word of God? Would you like to know that? So, you know, the brain is an extremely active part of our head, part of our body. And what the purpose of the brain is to present thoughts and ideas for your consideration. Okay, it's actually like two stages. The brain will suddenly throw things into your head, ideas, images from the past, a vision or whatever. And then there's your responsible part of your brain that says, well, I'm not going to do that, right? So let's say an idea comes into your head that says, I want to be in charge. I'm just tired of being pushed around. I want to be in charge of everything. Okay. Now, there's nothing wrong with that thought. The brain just threw it into your head. And then the other part of you says, you know what? That's irresponsible. I'm not going to do that. Now, do you know where that occurs in the Bible? That's one of the temptations of Jesus in the desert, right? He's in the desert, and he's tempted to be in charge of the world, right? I will make you king of all of the nations. So that's an idea that popped into Jesus' head. Just because it popped into his head doesn't mean he was going to do it, right? So it pops into his head, and then he says, no, having thought about it carefully for a few seconds, I'm not going to do that. So that's why I'm saying you never have to worry about any ideas that pop into your head. The ideas that popped into Jesus' head were quite seriously bad. They were quite wrong. Be in charge of the world, turning stones into bread, being presumptive and throwing yourself off the temple. These are just terrible temptations. So Jesus, if you feel like you have terrible thoughts coming into your head, you're in very, very good company, because so did our Lord. So anything that comes into your head is always good news, because then you can look at it and say, oh, I don't want to do that, I don't want to do that, I will do this. Does that make sense? Now, how can you tell whether any of these thoughts are the word of God, is God's message to you? And I'll just end with this. It's very simple, believe it or not. The word of God is always and only this. It is never anything else. You have tons of thoughts coming into your mind all the time. Some of them are frightening, some of them are okay, but the way that you can distinguish any of them from the Word of God is that the Word of God is always and only encouraging. In that sense of the word, to encourage, to encourage you. You can do this. You can achieve this goal. You can conquer this sin. You can avoid this temptation. You can do this. The Word of God is always and only, from the time of Adam and Eve to the time of today, to the time of Jesus and the disciples, you can do this. You can follow me. Come with me and I will make you fishers of men, right? I will do this. You can, with me, you can do this. So it's always encouraging. With me, you can conquer this sin. With me, you can avoid this habit. With me, you can gain this new habit. With me, you can find happiness. With me, you can find stability. With me, you can find peace. There's going to be all other voices in your head, for sure. Some of them may be left over from Aunt Mary when you were a kid. Some of them may be left over from your parents, your teachers, friends, you know, anybody. And some of them are useful and some are not. And you're going to have to just decide what they are. But the Word of God is always and only encouraging. So I encourage you to practice the discipline of silence. If you find yourself unable, if you find yourself just finding that difficult, that's really good news. Because that's a signal to you. That's a signal that you need to practice silence more, that you are running from something, you're avoiding a voice, you are afraid of some idea that might come up. But no need to be afraid, because whatever comes up, according to Father Dave's law, is always good news, because now you can look at it objectively and say, I wonder where that idea came from. Oh, you know what? I used to hear that from my Aunt Mary. I will bet that Aunt Mary is not here right now. So no need to worry about it. And the voice of God will always and only be encouraging. So with that, I'm looking forward to getting into the Ten Commandments for families tomorrow. And my style is to talk for about 3 hours. I'll tell you something that's true about myself. My absolute favorite thing to do is respond to questions, right? Now, when I'm giving a talk, as you can see, I have a notebook here, and I've already planned out some different thoughts and ideas that I think are just really so darn interesting and tremendous, you know. But they're what I think, right? And I've already read these talks, so I know what they say. But my favorite thing to do is to actually respond to an actual need, right? So you may find these things that I say helpful or maybe not. But at the end of each presentation, I would like to open it up for a Q&A. And we'll do it in two phases. And the first is, I would like the first few questions to be about the topic. And then after that, feel free to ask about anything. Anything in our faith whatsoever. You have an opportunity to be here this weekend. There's no other distractions. You're not going to be distracted by a lot of conversation. If there's things that you've always wanted to know that maybe any of the topics never don't actually cover, why not take advantage of this special weekend that the sisters were saying at the orientation and get your question answered. Is that okay? Okay. And then once that's over, silence. Okay. I think you have the schedule, and there's a lot of times for confession. So I think I'm going to the confessional now. Is that right? Okay. So thank you for coming tonight. Let me just say, this really says, just the fact that you are here says extremely good things about you. You know, this really says very, very powerful, wonderful, complimentary things about you, that you would take this time to come here. Even if somebody talked you into coming, the fact that you said yes, you know, trusting that person and, you know, kind of avoiding getting beat up, you know, is a good thing. So at some point you said yes, maybe it was a full-throated yes, maybe it was a reluctant yes, but you found yourself here. That means something. That's important. I think that means something. So let's not waste it. Let's not let this time go by and use it to the very best of your ability, because I am myself as well. And we'll see you tomorrow.